Language plays a huge role in shaping opinions and even actions. Think, for example, about the word retarded. Sounds like I shouldn't even say that on the radio, right? It literally means slowed down, but it's been abandoned as the official term describing people with intellectual disabilities. Even though if you think about it, in its literal meaning, disabled is more severe than slowed down. But retarded became such an ugly and hurtful word that there was a huge push to stop using it. Right now, we're in the middle of an addiction crisis, and there's been a growing movement in the scientific community to reframe the language of addiction. But that can be really tricky. Reporter Alana Gordon recently caught up with a researcher who's very passionate about these changes.
A couple weeks ago, Dr. John Kelly was invited to present at the National Institute on Drug Abuse in Washington, D.C. This is an important agency in the science world. It funds more than $1 billion in addiction and treatment research.
There was, 30, 40 people in the room, top officials.
Dr. Kelly was asked to talk about how language can affect attitudes and behaviors. He's been researching this at Harvard. But at the end of his 90-minute talk, he says he just blurted this out.
I said, I know I'm being bold here, but I think it's time that we do change the names of our institutes. You know, I mean, if not now, when?
So standing before a bunch of important people who run this major federal agency, Dr. Kelly basically said, hey, you guys need to get rid of your name, the National Institute on Drug Abuse. Because he says that word abuse is outdated.
I think the National Institute on Drug Addiction could be a different term that I think does not raise any red flags.
Kelly isn't proposing this just to be all PC. He's spent years studying the language of addiction. He's trying to develop an addictionary, I guess you could call it, of terms that better reflect what scientists now know about how addiction works. For example, it's not just some choice that someone makes. Genes and environment play a role too.
The other thing we've learned in the last 25, 30 years is that chronic exposure to drugs in the brain produces radical impairments and changes in the neurocircuits of brain, in particular to do with reward and memory and motivation and impulse control and judgment. And so it makes it very difficult for people, even when they want to stop.
Kelly says the term abuse has been dropped from the Diagnostic Manual of Psychiatry. The group uses substance use disorder instead, which includes a range of symptoms. Beyond this, he says abuse compared to disorder is really loaded.
It seems that certain terms like abuser versus a disorder seems interestingly to produce a more pejorative and punitive stance, even unconsciously, than does the word disorder.
The word abuse, he says, can induce what's called negative implicit cognitive bias. Think about the word leper. People with Hansen's disease used to be called that. He says the term substance abuse or abuser can also inadvertently lead to negative judgments and even harm. He tested this out a few years ago by giving several hundred mental health specialists one of two scenarios. He asked them whether they thought the person in that story needed to be punished or treated. The scenarios were identical, except for one phrase, the one that described the person.
What we found was that when someone was described as a substance abuser versus having a substance use disorder, people were more likely to view the person as needing punishment as opposed to treatment.
And again, these were all doctoral-level clinicians. Kelly worries this bias could lead to poorer care, even when clinicians are trying to help. They may feel less empathy toward patients without realizing it, making them more likely to drop out of treatment. His concern is starting to resonate. The Office of National Drug Control Policy has been striking the word abuse from all of its communications about addiction. They're even going a step further than Kelly's research, getting rid of words like addict and junkie.
So in other words, in describing someone, rather than describing them as the problem, i.e. an addict, to describe them rather as a person with an addiction problem or with an addiction condition or with a substance use disorder, a person with, in other words.
But language is complicated and nuanced. Not everyone agrees on these things. People have different ways they prefer to be identified. And then scientists interpret phrases differently too. It's contextual. Plus, if you kill one word, what do you replace it with? Some scientists think the word abuse could be useful in distinguishing a severe disorder from a milder one. But Kelly says at least with that word, enough research points to its problems. He's optimistic about its demise.
And that's the thing about language, you know, is that our language does change. It's always changing all the time. It evolves. And in the mental health field, you know, we have used in the past, not in the too distant past, we have used terms like lunatic asylum, drunkard, dipsomaniac to describe people with alcohol addiction, for example. But we don't use those terms now, right? We use things like psychiatric hospital, psychiatric illness, and alcohol use disorder.
Kelly recently had another victory at a big meeting of the International Society of Addiction Editors. After a lot of back and forth, the group agreed to stop using the terms abuse and substance abuser. But back to D.C. the other week, where Kelly says he stood in front of a bunch of leaders of the National Office on Drug Abuse and asked them to change their name. Thing is, even if a majority of these thoughtful scientists were in agreement, it's not like they could just go out, get a new sign, and hang it on the door.
Well, it would need an act of Congress to actually change the names of the National Institutes of Health, which is not a small deal, of course.
Yes, it would have to go through Congress, and that's not something the agency has said is a priority right now. But Kelly says the overall response in that room was positive. It led to more discussion about addiction terminology. He says that awareness is important because the country is struggling to get a handle on a major opioid crisis right now. It's an epidemic, and the language we use matters. For The Pulse, I'm Alana Gordon.